Welcome to College Street Baptist Church online service. We're glad that you are tuning in with us in the second week of our online services. I wanted to make one little quick announcement. Lauren will make some in a little bit here, but I wanted to remind you that if you have prayer requests, something we need to pray for, or an update on a prayer request, if you could contact the staff or the church office, let us know that. We have our staff meeting tomorrow morning, and we'd like to have updates. If we have any questions, we'll try to call and check on you. But please let us know how you're doing. If you have some specific prayer requests, we want to remember you in prayer. We welcome you here and from your home, wherever you are, worshiping with us. We want to sing together a song, Worthy, You Are Worthy. The words are real easy, so please sing with us in your home and worship with us as we sing.
Welcome to College Street Online. We're so glad that you're with us this morning. We just have a few announcements for today. First of all, please note that our office hours have changed during this time. We will be open at our church office, which is right next to our church building, Monday through Thursday from 8 to 3, and on Friday from 8 to 12. Also, our food bank will be resuming its regular operations, but it will be a drive-through service. So instead of going to our food bank building, you'll be driving through our building, and there'll be people there to direct you in that. That's Monday and Tuesday, each week from 10 to 1. All activities on our campus are suspended until further notice, and we will be sure to let you know when those activities will resume. Also, children, please note that we will be distributing some items from Mark Club, our C Street Sacks. We're going to be traveling around and dropping those off with you and maintaining, of course, a social distance. But we are looking forward to waving and seeing you today. Just be sure to let us know that you're home. Next Sunday, of course, is Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. And we're going to be doing things a little differently. We are going to be observing the ordinance of Lord's Supper, and we would ask that each family that tunes in make preparations for that however you see fit. Our recommendation, of course, is bread, which I know is in short supply right now, but you should be able to get some bread and some grape juice, and we look forward to observing that ordinance with you. We are glad to be with you in worship today. Let's start our time with a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you that we get to worship online with our church family and with other people from all over the world. That's exciting that your message is going out to people that we might not even meet or know about. But we just hope that your word is communicated clearly and effectively today. And we just thank you that, once again, our church is not a building. We're thankful that the church is your people. And we're all gathered here together today to celebrate you and celebrate what you're doing, even during this time of confusion and stress and all the things and all the feelings that people are feeling right now. I just pray your peace over people today. I pray for your wisdom and guidance to our leaders that are making decisions for us. I pray for those who are anticipating surgeries, those who are anticipating any kind of situation that's come up in their life that does or does not have to do with this crisis. I just pray that you'll be with them and that they'll feel your presence there. I pray that as a church that we will be effective in sharing your word and ministering to our community in the most effective and efficient way that we can show your love and your grace to anyone that we meet through this time and past this time, because this has not caught you by surprise, God. You are with us here. You are with us through all our troubles and our trials of this life, and we thank you for that. I pray over this service. I pray over Pastor Don and what you'll give him to say, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Promises shall last, but they will not. Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. I miss seeing all of our regular church family here on Sundays. We just love to reach out and just give you a handshake or a hug or whatever. Somebody even volunteered that they would send in their picture and we could put it on their pew over there where they normally sit. I think that's a great idea, but it's good to be with you today, to have you. I know that others are joining us by YouTube as well. A lot of different churches are doing a lot of different things in our area to try to meet, to provide worship, and I know that some are being very, very creative. I read about this one church in Mansfield where they were having drive-in worships and worship services, and the pastor, in order to get feedback from his congregation so he could know that they're listening to him out in their automobiles, he posted this. He said, if you were responding, parking lights on means I'm ready for worship. Headlights mean I am singing along. Right turn signal means I'm raising one hand in worship. Wipers on means lift both hands in worship. Flash your brights, that means amen and preach it, brother. Toot the horn means shout out to Jesus, hallelujah. If you put on your left turn signal, I'll know that you want to turn from your sins. If you put on your hazard lights, I know that you say you are in need of prayer. And if you put your spray washer fluid on, I know that you are telling me that you want to be baptized. So we don't get much feedback in this way, but I think that's a creative way for that pastor to get response back from his congregation that are meeting in the parking lot, so to speak. But it's good to have you here this day. I'm going to invite you this morning to find your Bibles, open up your Bibles to Psalm 107. Would you do that for me? Find verse 27. That's my focal passage for today. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that we can still worship here today. We know that we are missing a congregation, a church family, dear Lord, and we pray that they're participating today through this means of worship. We thank you, dear Lord, for all of these who are working hard in our audiovisual ministry, dear Lord, to bring this about. And we just praise you for that. We ask, dear God, now your blessings upon this message as we have heard the beautiful music. And thank Kelly, dear Lord, for bringing that today as well as the other musicians. So we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. For many decades, American college basketball fans have enjoyed what we call March Madness. And it consists of 68 teams being selected to participate in the national tournament to advance to the Final Four and then eventually be crowned the national champions. Well, regardless of what team you worship for, regardless of what team you are a fan of in March Madness, this has always been a great time of the year from many houses all the way up to the White House to celebrate the champions. But this year is different because college basketball March Madness has been canceled, and it has many fans either mad or they are certainly going mad because they don't have the games to watch unless you want to watch reruns. However, the same could be said about Major League Baseball, the NBA, NASCAR, the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, and so many other sports. Even the Olympics have just had to cancel in Japan. And the entertainment sector of our society is basically closed. Our whole educational system in America has been interrupted with education moving from the classrooms to the dining rooms to the living rooms. And more meaningful to many Americans is that our normal way of worship has been interrupted, and the very existence of some local small congregations may be hanging in the balance. You see, we are now in what I call our own March Madness. Who would have thought this possible as we celebrated Christmas this past year? This whole month has reminded me of a verse of scripture from Psalm 107, verse 27, where we read, "And they were at their wits' end." If I had to describe our nation of 363 million speaking three different, 350 languages, I could easily use that phrase, that we are at our wits' end. People from all walks of life and professions are doing their very, very best to deal with the crisis that has hit us and is very hard on us and causing much madness during March 2020. Some of you remember that a few weeks ago I shared about a guest who was on a religious talk show back in December 17th, and that was a couple of months ago. And this guest shared that in October, 2 months prior to that, before that broadcast, he felt that God was showing him that 2020 was going to be a year of shaking in America. He started out by saying, "Prayer intercessors have been holding our country and our world together, but there will be changes coming." And number two, he said, "There will be more confusion in the economy in the coming year." Number three, he said, "Politicians on both sides of the aisles who refuse to listen to God, God says, I will remove them from their office." And number four, he says, "There will be a wonderful change in the kingdom of God from Jesus because of his love." You see, the church, the kingdom of God across America and the world today, is already having to change because of the crisis that is upon us in March 2020. Who would have thought that we would have seen church buildings close, parking lots empty, empty pews? But back in December the 17th, when we heard this TV guest say this, that there would be much confusion in our economy the coming year, I immediately thought, how could this be? Well, because we are one of the strongest economies in the world. Now we know how it was possible, and that what God had showed this religious leader and the TV guest was real. Because COVID-19, our stock market is going crazy. Unemployment has risen drastically. Many businesses, especially small businesses, are all but shut down. We as a nation, along with 150 plus other nations, are in the desperate fight for our survival and our health and in our economies. And we as a nation are at our wits' end. This verse of scripture comes from the Old Testament, and it is part of a larger chapter that I would like to have you look at more specifically. First, consider the situation that they found themselves in. We read further there in Psalm 107, verse 27, "They reeled and they staggered like a drunken man and were at their wits' end." The literal translation says, "All their wisdom was swallowed up." The New Century Version says, "They did not know what to do." Now, the background of this psalm is that Israel would use the book of Psalms as its worship hymnal, and they would use it to praise God. And by praising God, they would remember what God had done for them in the past, and then they would praise him for his deliverance from hard times, giving them a future. So I think this psalm right here is a very appropriate for now. But if you were to go back and take some time this week and begin reading at verse 1 of Psalm 107, you would see that there are four groups mentioned in Psalm 107. There are the travelers who lost their way and they went astray. We see that in verses 4 through 9. There are prisoners who were suffering as a result of rejecting God, verses 10 through 16. There are those whose sinful ways showed them to be foolish, verses 17 through 22. And our focus group is found in verses 23 and following, where we read that there were those who were professional sailors who had got caught in a storm on a high sea. Their situation was that they were conducting normal shipping business, and finally, at one day, they found themselves in the perfect storm. Some of you remember a movie by that name back in the year 2000. It starred George Clooney and Diane Lane. It was based upon the true story about a commercial fishing vessel named the Andrea Gale and its crew. In 1991, they found themselves lost at sea in what was known as the perfect storm. Now, our professional sailors here in Psalm 107, they found themselves in a similar situation. Look at the description that we give here. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on the great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he spoke and he raised up a stormy wind which lifted up the waves and the sea. They rose up to the heavens. They went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Let's pause there just for a moment and think about these sailors. When these sailors got home that night, can you imagine the wife of the home saying, "Dear, did anything happen at work today?" And the professional sailor might have said, "Let me tell you about it. I thought I was a good sailor. I thought I knew everything about sailing, but I've never been in a situation like this." We gave up all hope. So what about our situation in our own March Madness? The first week of March, the children were in school, restaurants were open. We basketball fans were looking forward to our March tournaments. Businesses were booming. People were on cruise ships partying. NASCAR was running wide open, and people were planning or already on a European vacation. Churches were open for worship, and we were already talking about Palm Sunday and Easter coming. And then the perfect storm hit called COVID-19. So that's the situation we find ourselves in today, folks. So what are we to do about it? I thought about that and thought about that, and you've heard of many, many suggestions. But let me just say this. Some of the world's smartest doctors and scientists are trying many things, and we know they're really working hard. Some of our elected officials, or all of them, are also working hard. Some of the authorities are working hard to keep us safe. But there is more that we can do, and that is to look to God for help above all. And that's what this psalm tells us to do. So we've considered the situation, but secondly, I want us to consider the solution that these professional sailors found, because we see it in verses 28 and following. Look there in verse 28. "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble." You see, they cried out. One translation says, "In their misery, they cried out to the Lord." Now, I'm sure that they repented of their sins, because you don't hardly cry out to the Lord unless along with that process, he'll bring your sins up and say you need to confess those. But they threw themselves on the mercy of God. Now, I've never been in a foxhole in combat, for sure, but I've been on a commercial fishing vessel in a very, very, very bad storm in the Gulf of Mexico. And some of you have heard this story. But up and down, the swells of the waves were as high as the ceiling in this sanctuary. And we had to be confined in a closed-in area smelling all that diesel fuel. And we were trying to find the facilities, if you know what I mean. But you see, we found it hard to walk on the deck. We were like a drunken sailor trying to move around on this boat that was tossed to and fro. We were at our wits' end. I know I was, making all kind of promises to God. Get me out of this trouble. Get me out of this misery. But notice there now in the latter part of that verse there, it says in verse 28, the latter part, "And he brought them out of their distresses." So God heard their cries. God heard their pleas. God heard saw all of their misery, and God brought them out of their distresses. I want to ask you something. Has God ever done that for you? Has God ever heard your cries and you were in distress and God brought you out of that? I'm sure he has. I know he has. But it says also here, look further down in verse 29, "And he caused the storm to be still." He caused the storm to be still. Have you ever heard of anyone else causing the storm to be still? Of course you have. You remember the story of Jesus asleep in the boat with his disciples, and they were crossing a sea and the storm came up. Jesus, the very Son of God, that one who was there at the creation of the earth, that one who was there at the creation of the waters, he stood up and he spoke to the storm and he said, "Be still." And it was still. Jesus saved his disciples in the storm, just as the Almighty saved those sailors in that perfect storm. They were all at their wits' end. Is that where you find yourself today? God can save you as well. He can save America, but it will be on God's terms, not on our own wisdom or intellect, although he certainly can use man's knowledge. But God's terms require a man crying out to him, requires all of us crying out to him in our trouble, in our distresses, when we are at our wits' end. But I want you to notice something here. When they cried out to them and he ceased the waves and he ceased the storm and he took them out of their distress, notice here what was the results. God gave them gladness. In verse 30, the beginning of it, it says, they were glad because the seas were quiet. They were glad. The Bible tells us to say, "I will rejoice in the Lord, my God, my salvation. I will rejoice forevermore." Do you rejoice when God answers your prayer? And then it says right here that God gave them, further down here it says that God gave them guidance to their desired haven. So he not only gave them gladness, but he gave them guidance. Where is your desired haven of rest today? I don't know what any of you are going through personally, but what is your haven of rest today? Where do you want God to take you? Our nation needs a haven of rest for sure. It needs a haven of rest and healing from COVID-19 and so much more. We need so much more healing. But we see where God gave them that. And then look further down there, where in verse 31, where we not only see the results of their turning to God, but we now see the response when God heard their prayers, because they responded back to him. "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness." They gave thanks. The Apostle Paul tells us, "In everything, give thanks." Let us be a thankful people. Let God know that you appreciate all that he has done for you. And then when you look further down in verse 32, it said they lifted up his name. That's what worship is all about. It's all about lifting up the name of God. It's about lifting up Jesus. It's about singing praises to him. And then when you look further down in verse 32 as well, we see that they praised him. And the old question comes, can you praise God in the storm? Can you praise God in the storm we're going through right now, the COVID-19 storm? Can you praise God in the personal storm that you might be going through? And I know it is not always easy to do that. It's easier to live in fear in some cases, or at least some do. At least 95 times in the Bible, we read, "Fear not," or "Be not afraid." And we're going through a situation in America and the world where many are living in fear. And I understand that it is unique to the world, because the whole world seems to be focusing on COVID-19. For many, it has become their perfect storm. And I do not believe that our nation has been this laser focused since September the 11th, 2001. I truly believe our ultimate solution is to go to God in prayer, as our medical experts and our leaders do all they can to make us safe. There is a song that I have enjoyed for many, many years. It was written by a World War II Navy veteran. So I'm sure he had seen many real storms on the sea. His name was Thomas Moses Lister from Franklin, Tennessee. And he wrote the words to that beautiful song, "Till a Storm Passes By." And these are some of the lyrics. "In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by." When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that beautiful, peaceful shore. In that land where the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. If you want a real blessing, just go to YouTube and just put that in there, till the storm passes by, and especially a group singing like the Bill Gaither Vocal Band. So what about you? Will you cry out to God in your storm today? That really is the question. We come to God in worship and we say, God, now what do you want me to do with this worship? Will you cry out to God in the storm today? Do you know this God that the sailors spoke to? You see, Jesus can save you just as he did the disciples in the ship that day. He stilled the storm, but he not only stilled the storm for that day in their life, but he gave them eternal life also. And more importantly, he can save you for eternity so you can be in his presence someday. You can do that. If you do not know this Jesus, he can save you today by admitting that you are a sinner and you need forgiveness. By believing that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and that he is the only Savior of the world. And you can do that by confessing him today as your Lord and Savior when you ask him into your heart. Would you do that today? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can turn to you in all of our storms. Our nation and this world has seen many, many pandemics. And God, we are very encouraged because we know that you will take us through this. But it is our prayer, dear Lord, that individually people will reach out to you. This is a wonderful time for us to just take this time and realize what's really important in life. And I just pray, dear God, that you will speak to the hearts of those that are out there, those especially who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That God, they would come to you and they would confess their sins and they would believe that Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, is the Savior of the world. And then they would confess him as their Lord and Savior, invite him into their hearts today. And then when it is appropriate, they would speak to their pastor and seek to be baptized and follow up with that as well, to be a disciple of Christ. That is our prayer. Dear Lord God, thank you for the opportunity to be here today to worship. And we just pray that you would bless all your people and bless America. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
It's just talking about we come holy. We want to be holy before God. We want to be faithful. We want to be righteous. And also broken before him that he can use us and mold us and make us after his will. Sing with me if you know the words. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what you want from me. Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Make my will conform it to yours, O Lord. Righteousness, righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Righteousness, righteousness is what you want from me. So take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, O Lord. Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, O Lord. To yours, O Lord. Brokenness, brokenness is what I long for. Brokenness is what I need. Brokenness, brokenness is what you want from me. Is what you want from me. Is what you want from me.
We're so glad that you've joined us today in this YouTube online service. We just want to pray that you will have a good week, a safe week, a healthy week, as you shelter in place or move about cautiously to doctor's appointments or whatever may be your life. But we just pray that you will be well, and we thank you for joining us. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, today, dear Father, you have spoken to us through the music and through the message, I know. And God, it is my desire that you will use this time in our lives to just focus upon you. You have taken, in a way, so much away from us that has been non-essential through many, many years. We've enjoyed entertainment. We've enjoyed sports. We've enjoyed all of this others. But when all of that is taken away, it boils life down to the very, very necessities of food and shelter and crying out to you. And God, that's where you have us right now. That's where you've brought us to. And Lord, we just look to you. Dismiss us now with your love and grace, for it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.